It's time for Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area.
Well, recreational marijuana will become legal here in the state of Illinois on January 1st of next year, and that has law enforcement authorities all over the state of Illinois scrambling to try to see how they're going to handle the situation. One of those who's been researching this and was in Lawrence County just the other day to talk about it with local officials is Robinson Police Chief Chad Weaver, and he's been on the program before, and we welcome you back again. Chief, welcome back.
And thank you for having me.
Recreational marijuana, it's going to be coming into effect January the 1st. Just talk about it, your thoughts on the situation.
Well, like you said, it's going to be legal January 1st. This was a move the legislature's made and made the approval to make that legal. My concerns with that professionally are this wasn't entirely thought through by the state, and there's some repercussions of it, and we're not even really sure what all of those repercussions are thus far. Some things that are concerning to me professionally are the operation of vehicles while impaired by cannabis and the mechanics of the arrest and prosecution of that. It is at the forefront of our most law enforcement's concern as far as the legalization.
You know, they really didn't give these communities, municipalities, much time to figure out what they wanted to do, did they? I mean, they passed it, and all of a sudden they say, well, we're going to come up with some regulations, and here it is, what, a couple of months away, or less than a month away, or 2 months away, really, from enacting it, and we still don't have anything concrete, do we?
No, we don't, and this was passed through back in June relatively swiftly through the legislature. There wasn't a lot of consultation or any other kind of thing that went on as far as how the application of or how the dispensaries and cultivation centers were going to be allowed to propagate throughout the state. They've only recently come up with the program of how they're going to allow permits to be issued geographically throughout the state. And communities it didn't really have enough warning that they were going to need to prepare for that. So the zoning issues and the issues about where such a place would come, whether or not to allow cultivation centers or dispensaries in the community. A lot of communities haven't given it much thought because it just went through so swiftly and so silently. And now that we're coming up on January 1st, there's a lot of communities that are kind of realizing that there needs to be some action taken and decide how they want to handle the issues. So across the state, we're seeing county governments and municipality governments figuring out how they want to approach this.
Now, do they have to have something in place by January 1st? What happens if they don't?
So the default state the default condition, if you will, is that dispensaries and cultivation centers are allowed throughout the state. What the legislation did provide was the opportunity for local governments to exercise some control and decide whether or not they wanted to prohibit such things in their community. So if a county or a community doesn't do anything about it, they're opening themselves up for one of these facilities to move into their community. And if it may already be covered by business zoning, but as long as this dispensary or their cultivation centers meet the conditions of existing zoning, I don't know that a community is going to be allowed to have any say outside of that.
So if it's in a rural area away from a municipality or things like that can't be governed, they could just be pop up anywhere.
That is the case, yes. So you talk about unincorporated areas in the county, and there's a lot of smaller communities throughout the state that don't have strict zoning or don't have well-documented zoning that are certainly open to it. And while they may place themselves in a decent place, if you will, a place that the community is fine with, there's also the possibility of it popping up in a place that they're not comfortable with. And that's why, you know, I'm stressing to communities to take a look at this and decide what they want to do, and if they're not sure what they want to do or they're not sure how they want to regulate it, to prohibit it, to buy themselves some time so that they can lay the groundwork for where it could be located.
Now, I'm sure the idea behind this recreational marijuana legalizing it was the fact that you're looking for another source of money. Illinois is, of course, you know, been in debt for a long time. Governor J.B. Pritzker in there is a free-thinking guy, I guess you could say, and he looks at this and sees what other states have done, and the fact that some states have made some money. He says, you know, that's a way we can do it, along with the other ideas that he has. I think it's, you know, an interesting idea. I just think it's gone, they're going about it a little wrong.
I agree. And it clearly is a money grab. And that, I mean, that is the number one reason and the number one justification the legislature has used to get this passed and through. Granted, there's a community that want it legalized just for the sake of having it legalized. But the number one sell for a lot of people have been the revenue side of it. And there is no doubt money to be made in it. But part of the problem with this recreational cannabis is there's a lot of hidden costs, too, that places an extra burden on society. ER visits increase, traffic fatalities increase. There's a lot of other effects on society that weren't necessarily plugged into that revenue calculation. You know, human lives have value, and I didn't see that in the equation anywhere.
Well, see, here's an idea I've had with regard to that. I have always thought that if you were going to do something like that, legalize something like that, why don't you do it like you do cigarettes? Package it. The state has its own. They package it. They put it into cigarette form. They sell it out of retail stores and things like that. Just like you would go in and get a pack of cigarettes at your local retail store, you would go in and get a pack of marijuana cigarettes, prepackaged marijuana cigarettes, and they would sell it to you at a price. They would tax it, and then it would be, of course, sealed, just like a pack of cigarette packs are. And on the law enforcement side, if you were out, for instance, picking one of those up, if you got pulled over and your seal was broken on your cigarette pack, that would be a violation. We like broken seal, something like that. Is that a conceivable idea? Does that have merit with you?
That is actually built into this current legislation.
Is that right?
When they purchase cannabis from a dispensary, there's actually a lot of different forms that cannabis can come in. So the traditional joint or tobacco, or not, the leaf product, if you will, is required to be packaged in a sealed container. It's supposed to be an odor-proof sealed container, and you're only allowed to open that. You can't transport it once it's been opened, much like alcohol. And you can't consume cannabis in a vehicle at all. It is completely prohibited. You can't consume it in public places. So a lot of those things are already built into the current legislation. The other thing about cannabis is it's more than just the flower form. There is also edible. Edible is a huge market. You know, there are gummies and there's brownies and there's all kinds of different things that are designed to be eaten. And then there's wax products and there's shatter and there's a lot of other cannabis products that are being marketed that are also required to be in those sealed original factory containers and aren't allowed to transport it otherwise, which allows us as law enforcement to detect the difference between legal cannabis and illegal cannabis, or properly transported or improperly. Much like you mentioned, the cigarette packs are required to have an Illinois tax stamp, and if you bring in too many of those, you're in violation of it. So a lot of those mechanics are already in place for cannabis. And it's one of the things that they actually thought about when they passed the legislation.
Okay, well, I know it's, 600 pages long, the legislation is?
600 and change, yes.
Wow, that's a lot. And, again, your stance on it, you're just not against it. You're against it.
I am against recreational cannabis. I make no bones about that. Professionally and personally, I have a lot of issues with it. And it's also worth noting at this juncture to mention the difference between recreational and medicinal. And, yep. You know, when I say that I'm against recreational cannabis, I'm against recreational cannabis. And I'm not against medicinal cannabis. I'm not educated enough in that arena for when it's used for the specific purposes that it were allowed for. And the recreational cannabis laws don't intercede with the medicinal cannabis laws. So as far as when we talk about regulating where dispensaries go and where cultivation centers go, that only applies to recreational cannabis. A medicinal cannabis dispensary can open up wherever the state allows them to, and states don't have, or municipalities and county governments don't have the authority to regulate that or opt out of medicinal cannabis. It's just the recreational cannabis that they're allowed to opt out of.
And I don't think I've seen they've issued some of the dispensaries that are going to be allowed for recreational cannabis. I don't think there are too many in the southern part of the state that I have seen so far.
So they initially allocated 75 licenses for recreational cannabis dispensaries. The first people who were allowed, or the first organizations that were allowed to apply for recreational cannabis dispensaries, were those in existing medicinal cannabis dispensaries locations. So the nearest one that I'm familiar with is Effingham, and they were they were allowed to apply for it first. Effingham is set to vote and going to allow recreational dispensaries in their community. So while it's possible, while they are eligible first through the state license process, they're not necessarily, they may not be allowed to by Effingham. So they broke those 75 licenses down by geographic region, and they awarded them just to kind of get a diversity across the state of where those go. Our area, both Crawford and Lawrence County, fall into the same geographic area. There's two, and as does Effingham, and there's two licenses that are set to go in those geographic regions. They're eligible first. If those don't get filled, they'll find another place for them to go. And I know a lot of communities think that they're not likely to receive a license even if they wanted one, but in the statute, it's designed to hit areas. They're trying to license places where the economic, the socioeconomic situations are the worst. So the people who have been, where cannabis arrests have been the highest, is where they're looking to put these dispensaries in the first place. So a lot of these smaller communities actually may be more likely to receive one than they may think.
And we mentioned money is one of the big things that's pushing this. And there are some communities that perhaps could see an opportunity, perhaps, to make money if they have a dispensary, and they would sort of have it under regulation.
Yes, like I said, there is money involved in this. And one of my concerns is, while there's money in this, and we can point to the other states where legalization has happened, such as Colorado or Washington, and you can look at some of the totals that they've got, how it impacts local communities is different. Illinois taxes differently. Illinois works differently. So, and how much sales each community is likely to generate is unknown. So while it does appear to be kind of this nice looking fruit hanging out there that a community may want to latch on to generate some revenue, I don't know how much revenue they're set to generate. And I don't know that any community truly has an idea of how much that is. It depends on a lot of different things. So while there's some money there, I can't give any idea how much that is, and I challenge anybody else if they think that they know what it is going to be until it actually starts happening. Now, once some of the other communities and once some of these licenses get out there and you start to get some comparable communities, I think you can start to build a reasonable idea of how much money a community could make off of that. But as of yet, that's not to be seen.
So if you were to recommend to a community, and I think you made this recommendation at the meeting here in Lawrence County, you would recommend that a municipality, city would strike against it. Then if it proves to be working, they can rescind that and then get into it later?
That's my exact recommendation. So the legislature allows for an ordinance prohibiting these cultivation or dispensaries or you can have any level of that less than that. So if you want to allow a dispensary, not a cultivation center, you can prohibit it. And as it's an ordinance, they could later rescind it if they wanted to. And like I said, my recommendation is they prohibit it for now and then figure out what they want it to look like, figure out zoning issues, and then gives them extra time to listen to the community and decide what their community wants. And I suggest that because the alternative is if they do nothing and something moves into a place where they're not comfortable with, or it's a situation that they decide that it's not a good thing, it's a lot harder to put the toothpaste back in the tube once it's already out. So if a dispensary moves in and they decide that they want to revoke it or do something else, it's a lot more challenging than it is to be patient and see what the best course of action is.
We didn't talk about this a little earlier, but is there an age limit with regard to this, like alcohol, 21? Is that,
yes,
is that the cutoff line?
Yep, the 21 years of age is the cutoff line for purchase, consumption, or anything else.
Okay. Well, it's going to be interesting. It's here we are coming up on January 1st, and this new situation is going to happen. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what happens across the state once January 1st gets here.
It is, and a lot of communities have come to decisions, and a large majority of them have at least considered it. And that's the biggest thing, is to at least address it and decide what's best for each community. And that's the beauty of it. You get to decide as a community whether or not you agree with it or whether or not you think it's a good thing. And that's the beauty of our government, is that, and if you don't like what your community has decided, you can go to a community that's decided something different.
And that's what our elected officials here have asked the people to do is to, if you're for it or against it, make your opinions known to your elected officials. That way they can make an educated decision based on the constituency.
Absolutely. And that's why I think it's important for the elected officials to be the one that take this to a vote or take this under consideration, make the decision, because it is representative government, that they were elected to go and do the job, and that's the job they were elected to go do. And this is an issue that's extraordinarily complicated. Like I said, the law itself is 600 pages. I've read most of it, especially how it implicates professionally law enforcement and communities. But you know, for the average voter to go out and fully educate themselves on this new statute, it's a difficult process, and there are certainly people to do that. And I think at the meeting a couple days ago, there was a good representation of people there who were well-studied and well-educated. But, you know, when you have six or seven or eight elected officials, that's their job, and that they should be the ones getting fully educated on it, and they certainly should be seeking the input of the community members. And if the community members' voices, if they're not being sought out, their opinion, I strongly encourage them to find their representative and make their opinion known.
Well, thanks for stopping by and talking about this big issue with us. And hopefully we'll have something in place, whether for or against, here in Lawrence County in the near future.
Yes.
You have been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly program in which we address and discuss issues affecting the communities within the WAKO listening area. If you or your organization have issues and information affecting your community and would like to be a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by email, wako@dlcmediainc.com, phone 618-943-3354, fax 618-943-4171, or regular mail, WAKO Community Issues, 13799 U.S. Highway Business 50, Lawrenceville, Illinois, 62439.